sometimes we it was always good when there was your sector guys were there to present some meat, you know, in the sector, so that by the time we deal with this issue or we want to invite, we are informed properly. Because the report as it stands, sometimes it gives the impression that the spending is fine. At the end of the third quarter, it's about, let's say, 75% as an average, I'm just putting. But the devil is in the details. And I'm saying we always find it more useful. I see your team is becoming thinner and thinner on your side. Would really like to have the price. But that's one. The second thing is the presentation. Well, we get the quarterly report. But I think we got the report a week ago. Yeah. Maybe you would argue that no, the presentation is just a summary of the report. But it's normally better for us to get the presentation earlier. Well, the third quarter report to us is a very useful benchmark. I'm sure to yourselves as well, because soon is going to be the end of the fourth quarter. And at the end of the fourth quarter, I mean, this report really gives us an indication how the departments are going to spend come the end of the year. And some departments, at the end of the third quarter, they are at 60% plus. At the end of the fourth quarter, everybody is at 100%. So we think that it does not need a rock science to see that this money has not really been spent on deliver services, but it has gone somewhere. Now, so that's why to us it's important. One thing maybe that could be important, Mr. Dorothy and the team, for us is up to now, we get the quarterly report, we don't get the operations, what you call, what is it called? Your operational, what you call, a program. Because sometimes, if the department, I think it's the one that would indicate to us that this department at this particular time could have spent, should have spent this much. All we're looking at generalities by the department at the end of the first quarter, 25%, second quarter, and so forth. But the departments, no. If you take, for instance, the education department, they are spending mostly beginning of the year. But we need to understand their operational, what is this operational, sorry, am I speaking softly? Operational plan. Yeah, we need to know their operational plan. So that sometimes we don't get worried about a lot of low spending or too high spending, because we are aware. So on that note, I'd really like to welcome you and added to. Honourable Member, I would like to invite Mr. Donaldson to address.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Donaldson. I don't know if you received the copies of the minutes. Of the, I'm talking about the minutes now. You don't have. Okay. Now let's deal with the work in front of us, because remember we agreed that in every meeting let's take a few minutes.
We decided that we are going to do it and we are going to start today. The fact was they must just, because we are going to decide yesterday, so we agreed that they must get a set of minutes and we'll see how far we can go. But it was left to us to decide and come and inform them today.
Okay, for a future meeting.
We are going to decide what is going to happen about the minutes. And then us, we're going to tell them what we decided. But yesterday we decided that we informed them that we will start today to take them as the number that we can. So they did not yet know that we're going to, they would have known if they were informed that we will be doing it today. But there's no time left. They still remember. We've all forgotten what happened.
Okay.
I've got a problem with this. You know, I don't think this morning's presentation will be long, but once we finish, and if you just take 5 or 10 minutes and just go and fetch the minutes in the office, then I'm fine, then we can deal with it. It's not a problem.
Now, the copies are here. The copies are here. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's progressive. Mr. Donaldson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you've said, this third quarter report is really a foretaste of what the numbers are likely to look like for the full year. There's only 2 weeks or so left of the year, so for practical purposes, departments are not able to make significant changes to their spending outcomes at this stage. There are a few cases where there'll be a step up in spending in the final quarter, and so we may see some percentages go up. But this is a good indication of where national departments have got to in the present financial year. There's a lot of detail in the full expenditure report, so a lot of work has gone into setting up the numbers and summarizing the trends. I'm not going to go through all the votes, just highlight the main trends. Just a reminder of what we're looking at. The overall budget for the year of 970 billion comprises the national voted appropriation of 546 billion and the balance is direct charges. We're not going to be talking about those. The provincial equitable share of 313 billion flows automatically to provinces. State debt costs may be a little different, but that's an up-to-date estimate or an estimate as of a few months ago. So state debt costs will be close to that total of just under 90 billion rand. And other direct charges, mainly remuneration of judges, MPs, and one or two other direct charges. The flow of funds to municipalities that's associated with the fuel levy replacement arrangement, or the replacement of REC levies through the fuel levy. So 564 billion is the total that we're looking at, and more than two-thirds of that comprises in transfers and subsidies. Here you can see the breakdown of the available budget and actual spending as of the end of the third quarter. $396 billion, so 72.6% spent by the end of the third quarter. Most spending is classified as transfers and subsidies of various kinds. This includes conditional grants to provinces and municipalities, but also transfers to public entities and agencies that provide services on behalf of departments. Compensation of employees and goods and services just under a third or so of total national spending. This shows the trend in spending relative to authorized drawings. We have a procedure, as you know, where departments indicate in advance their expected drawings for the year. These are always somewhat higher than actual spending because departments have to advise the cash management parts of Treasury of what their maximum drawings are likely to be during the year. At this stage, expenditure lags behind the scheduled drawings by about $15 billion, which is quite high. More or less the same as at the end of the second quarter. So there is clearly an indication here that spending will come below budget. We will be within budget by the end of the year. That is helpful in a macro-fiscal sense under circumstances where we are running an uncomfortably high deficit, but there are certainly also some concerns about areas of underspending where we would like to see more progress. This is a slightly complicated table, so I'm going to spend a bit of time here, because it illustrates both lags in spending and, in a few cases, signals of risks of overspending. The numbers in red are indications of possible overspending or higher spending than the scheduled drawdowns. The shaded sort of yellowish shaded numbers are indications of lags in spending or lower actual spending than drawdowns. The first two columns are for the previous year, so you can see in a few cases patterns of underspending in several departments. In cooperative governance and traditional affairs, last year the final outcome was about $2 billion below the budget, but remember that, and more or less the same reason applies this year, that this is in part because of failure to spend grants at the municipal level. So a failure to spend in accordance with the purpose of grants at the municipal level results in holding back of grants, or slightly more complicated, offsetting reductions in the equitable share allocations to municipalities in cases where those municipalities have failed to repay grants that were due to be repaid to the National Revenue Fund. So that is what is happening this year, and you can see an expectation of quite a high level of holding back of grants to municipalities because of failures at the municipal level to spend in accordance with the purpose of those grants. National Treasury, there are a few two particular areas of underspending there that's not particularly high relative to the overall National Treasury budget. And basic education, there is some catching up here, but there is still a lag in spending mainly on the funding that is made available for the backlogs in school infrastructure. So this is the school building program that is administered by the Development Bank on behalf of the Basic Education Department. So let me use that case as an example just to show how this table shows the trend during the year. If you look at the 2012-13 column in the middle of the table, you'll see there for basic education, $542 million, the lag at the end of the first quarter, $1.3 billion, the lag at the end of the second quarter, and it's now $1.6 billion, the lag at the end of the third quarter. By the end of the fourth quarter, we may have made some progress. Mr. January, who's with me here today, can comment if members would like to ask about the education area. as he deals with the department here. But we have seen some improvement this year in spending against this grant. So it is possible that that number will come down somewhat, but we would certainly expect that the fund, that the money will not be fully utilized this year. In the case of human settlements, there also appears to be a lag in spending on some of the housing funding. Rural development and water affairs also similar, orders of about $1.5 billion a year underspending. And in the case of rural development and land affairs and water affairs, these are quite high levels of underspending relative to the budgets. So budgets here are of about $9 billion. Underspending at this stage of about $1.5 billion certainly is cause for concern. But for government as a whole, about 72.6% of spending at the end of the third quarter. The next few slides, Chair?
Yep.
Yes, so in the human settlements case, if you look at the numbers in the middle columns, at the end of the first quarter, the lag was $656 million relative to what had been planned. $1 billion relative to what had been planned, and that had gone up to $2.7 billion by the end of the second quarter. So they've made some progress. That $2.7 billion is now down at the end of the third quarter to $1.7 billion. And, of course, these are large flows, somewhat unpredictable flows to provinces that depend in part on progress at the provincial level with housing programs. And it's possible that by the end of the year they will have caught up or funds will have been transferred to provinces and to cities implementing housing programs. In the case, this is a good example of how one should not read too much into these numbers because, of course, the delivery of housing at the municipal level or in the cities, in provinces, is not directly related to the cash flows from the National Department to provinces. So if you really want to track what's happening in housing programs, you have to look at the spending on the grants. You have to look at the reports of our intergovernmental relations team on actual spending by provinces or municipalities against these grants. But this is an indication of the transfers from the National Department to implementing departments and at the provincial level and to municipalities. So, brief comment on the big numbers indicated here. In COGTA's case, as I've indicated, equitable share grants which have been withheld in order to refund the National Revenue Fund for unspent conditional grants in previous financial years. So this is not a holding back, if you like, of this year's equitable share. It's a holding back in respect of money that should have been repaid to the fiscus in previous years. There has also been slower spending in the disaster relief allocations. Some of these projects, which are construction projects, require design, approval, tender procedures, and so there are lags in spending. On the National Treasury vote, payments in the civil and military pensions program, where there always is some difficulty in projecting spending, there'll be some catch-up in those numbers during the course of the year. But it's important perhaps to mention that in respect of post-retirement medical benefits, this is the year in which we have implemented the transfer of some 16,000 pensioners from Medihelp to GEMS with a considerable savings to the fiscus as they've moved onto a GEMS medical scheme benefit. And so there is in part less spending on this program because of the savings associated with that shift of the so-called pre-1992 pensioners onto GEMS. Some lags also in spending on the Jobs Fund program. The Jobs Fund spending program, spending has really only got going towards the end of last year and in the first quarter of this year. So that is one of the reasons for the lags in spending on the National Treasury vote. And then I've mentioned also the basic education case, the school's infrastructure backlogs grant, still behind schedule. Human settlements, the urban settlements development grant lags in spending. The department expects that these payments will largely be made by the year end, so the indication is that level of underspending will be reduced before the end of the year. In rural development and land reform's case, restitution and land reform grants, which are subject to quite complex, time-consuming processes, are still lagging well behind allocations. And in water affairs, I think there's some concern here, delays in water affairs projects, which are now beginning to see those numbers flow in the last quarter. So I think there will be an improvement in these numbers by the end of the year, but we would, on the basis of this report, expect some underspending on water affairs for the full year. And then a few cases where there are again risks of overspending relative to budget allocations. Women, children, people with disabilities still looks as though spending is not fully under control, although it's in an improved position by comparison with last year. In public enterprises case, this is not a concern. It's simply that a payment was made to Alexcor to settle the obligations that were provided for in the budget ahead of plans, so that will not translate into higher spending by the end of the year. And similarly, in environmental affairs case, payments were made that were not anticipated when the drawings were signaled, and so we don't expect to see overspending as a result of those. This is just an illustration of the breakdown between votes, and it's a useful reminder that social grants on the social development vote are the largest obligation of national departments. Nearly a fifth of spending of national departments is accounted for by the Department of Social Development, and these are broadly on track. We expect the outcome for that vote to be quite close to the appropriation. Other significant sized national votes, COGTA, about 10% of the total, higher education training, mainly for our universities and further education colleges, about 7% of national spending, defense and military veterans, also about 7%, police about 12%, transport about 7%. So those are the bigger departments, the 10 departments, which make up 80% of total spending up to the end of the third quarter. Mainly correctional services or the military and safety and security functions and social development and higher education. Spending is certainly continuing to grow, so what this graph illustrates is actually some acceleration in spending between the 2010-11 year and the 2011-12 and 2012-13. So an increase in the total spending by the end of the third quarter of $33.5 billion by comparison with last year. And so it's a 9.2% increase in spending. That is roughly in line with budget plans. It is a little higher than the economy is growing at present, and so that's a reminder of how we do face a problem of government spending continuing to grow faster than the economy can afford, and the budget over the next few years has got to reverse that trend. The increased spending, so this is a breakdown of that $33 or $34 billion that is the increase in spending between last year and this year by the end of the third quarter. 72% of the increase is in transfers and subsidies, 20% under compensation of employees, 5.5% in payment for capital assets. Government departments do not spend very much directly on capital projects. Capital projects, infrastructure projects, are mainly implemented by agencies such as SANRAL or PRASA on behalf of government departments, but really provincial and municipal capital spending are in both cases much higher than the national department capital spending responsibilities. The significant increases in spending by comparison with last year. So you can see we had a lag in spending in COGTA, but nonetheless, the COGTA spending of $38 billion, nearly $39 billion by the end of the third quarter of this year is 22% higher than the previous year. So that's a considerable increase and reflects the continued strong growth in budgeted amounts for municipal grants and the equitable share in the overall framework. Municipal allocations are amongst the fastest growing areas of spending and have been for many years. In respect of basic education, again, we had a considerable lag in spending in basic education, but it's a position that is not as bad as last year. Underspending was larger last year, and so, in fact, there's a 20% increase in total spending by the end of the third quarter in the basic education vote by comparison with last year. And most of the other numbers are more or less as one would expect, somewhere between 6 or 7%, 10 or 11% in a few cases by comparison to the previous year. Police certainly looks as though it's spending comfortably in line with budgets, about an 11.5% increase by comparison with last year is quite a strong increase for the police vote, which doesn't grow quite as fast as that overall. And then just a few slides on specific votes. Social development, which is the largest vote, $83 billion spent by the end of the third quarter, which is a nominal increase of 6.8% by comparison with the previous year. And almost all of that, of course, is classified as grants, grant payments. The administration costs of that system are actually coming down with the rationalization and improvement in administration in SASA and with the significant cost advantages of the new payments contract, administration costs of the social grant system are well under control now. In police, a very different structure of spending. Here you can see how compensation of employees is comfortably the largest part of the police vote. Very few activities of police are paid for through transfers to other entities. So police's budget, compensation of employees, somewhere over 75-70%, close to three-quarters of spending. Goods and services, a big part of the balance. And those numbers do suggest that there has been an improvement this year in capital spending, in the maintenance, in the rehabilitation spending on police stations, on infrastructure, and on equipment and supplies. Vehicles is the main other area of capital spending. There's been some improvement in capital spending on the police votes this year. COGPA, again, we go back to a vote in which most of the funding is for transfers and subsidies, and you can see the picture there of how the clawback of unspent money from municipalities last year, and again there is some of that this year, account for a lower level of spending, in fact in nominal terms last year, than in 2010-11 on the COGPA vote. But it's a nominal increase of $7 billion, or an increase of 22% by comparison with the previous year's spending on this vote. Transport, something of a slowdown of spending in transfers on the transport vote. A $2 billion increase by comparison with last year. Nonetheless, that's an 8% increase. And you can see how there was a very big increase in transport spending between 2010-11 and 2011-12, with the step up in allocations for SANRAL and for PROSA in particular, and also with the step up in spending on the public transport infrastructure transferred to the cities. Defense and military veterans, this is a vote in which compensation of employees is more than half of spending, goods and services about a quarter, between a quarter and 30% or so, and transfers and subsidies and capital spending probably lower than they should be in defense spending. The way to make sense of the transfer item here is that this is mainly for a capital project. In the classification of our accounts, the spending that is done by Arms Corps on behalf of defense It's classified as a transfer to Arms Corps, but it's really a provision for capital projects and the acquisition of arms and equipment. So it's not classified as payment for capital assets, but it really is spending on capital assets through Arms Corps. So the way to read the Defense and Military Veterans budget is capital spending comprises both the capital assets and transfers item, goods and services, and then compensation for employees, which is rising as a share of the total, which is a cause, I think, for some concern in the balance of spending on the defense vote. Higher education and training, almost all the budget goes to higher education institutions. 10.9% increase, so this is a budget that is always more or less fully spent. Transfers flow fairly automatically to the higher education institutions, and there's no cause for concern here. And then a few comments on a few other votes here. A 21%, 21 billion spending on the health vote is about a 6.8% increase by comparison with last year. Much of the increase is because of the step-up in the Comprehensive HIV and AIDS Grant Program. Basic education is a considerable improvement on last year, although there is still a lag in spending on the school infrastructure programs. Correctional services, about a 9% increase, broadly in line with expectation. Much of the increase is about improved compensation of employees. And this is just some final points, I think. Overall, national spending is well within budget, probably more within budget than it should be. Underspending looks particularly a risk in respect of land restitution and rural development programs and the school infrastructure program. It is a concern also in respect of the human settlements grant, although it may well be that those funds are transferred or that there's a reduction in the underspending by the end of the year, but it's progress of the human settlements programs at municipal and provincial level that really counts, so it's not so much that transfer that is the issue. Overall, national government spending, an increase of 9.2% by comparison with last year. I think that's probably a pretty good indication of the likely outcome for the full year. We'll end up with about a 9% increase in spending on last year, still a little higher than is comfortable when the deficit is so high, there are concerns about some areas of spending where spending is lagging behind allocations. So that's my summary of the main issues in these in the third quarter report. Obviously, we're happy to take questions and comments, and if necessary, we can come back to the committee with explanations if there are issues in the longer report that you'd like further elaboration on. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the presentation. I see that Honorable Snare, Honorable Swart would like to comment, Honorable Haraglom, Honorable Fuller. Take us go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Mr. Donaldson. I just want to get an understanding, Chair, of Treasury's perspective. Why do the departments find it so difficult or almost impossible to plan around the MTF? I know it's been a question that we've raised for a number of years. I mean, I stand corrected as well. So I think it's 40% of the previous budget can be spent according to the PFMA in the year going forward. So, I mean, there has to be some kind of, they have to be comfortable in a particular manner to be able to say that they can spend and go forward and plan for tenders to be either put out or to start at the beginning of the year instead of waiting all the time until the second or third quarter. What is it that makes it so difficult for the departments to be able to use the MTF to plan?
Thank
you. I wonder if Mr. Donaldson, thank you for the presentation. It can perhaps help me
with the quantum of the payment to AlexCorp, you know, how much that was. Then, Chair, you can rule me out of order, but I just want to ask something about the current budget because it relates to the large amounts that goes to social services. And I recall something in the latest budget speech where it was said that they're going to do away with the means test for old age pension. Is that correct or is that not correct? And what will the effect thereof be? Because Harry Oppenheimer would then also be able to apply for a pension.
Thank you, Chair. I have only two questions. That's about the stats on the Independent Police Directorate, if you can provide us with this. And then, because I know there were some problems here or two ago. And then my next question is, you also mentioned it here in the conclusion, in your concluding remarks, that's about the underspending on land restitution and rural developments. Now, I know for the last 3 years you are struggling with this. How do you think must we address this? And because I know legal cases can sometimes be a problem, and it will be always a problem. But we must streamline it one other time. Otherwise, our goals will not be met. So what are we doing to address this issue? Because that is a very serious issue. All of us in this country and internationally, people say that land is always a very important issue. So I just want to hear what is your remarks on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to understand where the slide number 6, they are talking about the summary of the largest lake, which means the deepest slope. What I want to understand, I can see they're talking about national treasury mainly relating to slower than projected spending. I just wanted to understand, is there a lack of capacity or what is it? I'm not so sure. And then another question is around the comparison to schedules drawing on where there's red and yellow. What I want to know is there any plans to make sure that every time on the report it's either people are slow or people are overspending or underspending? I want to find out from them, is there any plan that is there to make sure that this does not repeat itself? Because it's, for me, it's every time when there's a report around issues, there's underspending, overspending. You know, what plan is there for from the department? And in terms of defense and military veterans, I can hear that you are saying assets are not classified, capital assets are not classified as capital assets from the military side. And what are they classifying them with? Because we need to know how much was spent. And if the department itself does not have that category, what are you doing to make sure that they put things in a proper way? If it's capital assets, they can't give it another name. They make sure that it reflects that. So that they, for me, if it does not reflect and say they used another name, then it becomes a challenge for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Fulham. Otherwise, you're calling for uniformity in terms of these classifications. Okay. Honourable Mashiko, Honourable Ramasaka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know, because we suggested that National Treasury seriously assist Department of Women and Children, whether that intervention had any impact looking at what they are still doing. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Aramantaran, do you have a question? Oh, sure.
I don't know what's excitement behind me. no, Lord Chair, thank you very much, and I think I get a protection from you from the sniping. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first one, I just want to understand this disaster slow spending on the disaster relief. Isn't it that it's always after the effect? It's always after the effect when the relief has to be paid, given that there's assessment that goes into it. There's an argument about the figures before and then the submission. Why is it that it's a persistent problem? The second one is the spending slice that suggests that it's higher than, comparatively speaking, is higher than the previous year. There's a slide there that's got a green. I just want to understand if you can just explain. You say it's higher than the previous year, comparatively speaking. Is it driven by the transfers that obviously improve that particular aspect? And of course, the transfers does not necessarily equal spending. If the transfer does not equal that the service has been rendered or the work has been undertaken. The other one is dealing with the savings. You mentioned the projection on savings around the social development aspect. I know that the minister also did in a speech mention, I can't remember what he mentioned, 23 rand or something like that for. Now, interesting just to find out from you. You may not have the information here. Now, what I don't understand is the high cost and the plummeting to a lower cost that equals savings. Does it mean that the previous cost was a bit of an inflated one, a lot of fat in it? And it's interesting to know who underwrites the reasonable cost, one that generates the savings. The other one is this water affairs. So, Donaldson, you know this issue about invoices, that year on year is an issue that it's put as a reason for underspending and so on. Particularly when you deal with water affairs, because you're dealing with really huge airport constructions, things are projected fairly month of month in terms of the completion. Why is it that is a persistent problem that is made to be the issue? I think it's 1 billion that we're talking about here under that. So I just wonder if you can comment on that. I had noted the positive thing about the, of course, improving expenditure, and I noted that you do make some projection around school infrastructure and the projection that it will improve as we go into the future. I just want to a little bit of a comment on that part. You see, the education part has been another bit of a sore point, particularly around the predetermined objective as what we needed to achieve in every year to year. Maybe you'll show light, but I know that my colleague has already asked the question on women, the Department on Women. I can't remember, because I don't have the minutes here of the discussion, last discussion we had, and I think Treasury was also part of it. But this whole question of organogram, and the fact that there was no CFOs, that there is going to be an effort to try and mitigate the ballooning of the personnel cost to some degree a reasonable thing, that going forward it's not going to be a persistent problem. Now, maybe if you could just enlighten us about the folks around that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mekagan. I think from just to add on what the colleagues have raised, and it's on cooperative governance. What is the implication of the expenditure for cooperative governance? Seeing that we have a challenge of financial years. So in the past, we do know that beginning of the year, for instance, you find that in this first quarter that you're going to, municipalities are not going to draw. And then I don't know if they do catch up, where they do that catch up, when they do it, I don't know. But the implications of this slide 6 says cooperative governance of national affairs, equitable share grants withheld to refund the National Revenue Fund for unspent conditional grants not relinquished by municipalities in previous financial years. Now, together with slow spending in the disaster relief, how far back does this the funds that we withheld are being withheld? That's one. Two, is that the, I don't know if you can just expatiate more on this and to how it's being managed, you know, because one assumes that the municipalities that we're talking about here are mainly the smaller municipalities that hardly generate their own revenue. Just watching on slide or page 5, I mean page 6, 5, so the slide 5, with yellows and I think that comparison makes becomes very useful to us, for instance, because now, yes, in terms of comparisons between the other years, but now for local government, for instance, it's just 1.9 billion. At end of the third quarter, last year, 2011-2012, almost the same. This year is inclusive of the funds that have been withheld. So does it mean that there's an improvement in terms of that? Yes, okay. No, okay, so far let's just take those let's just take those thank you.
All right, thank you. Let me try to
We deal with a few of the more factual questions first. ElectScore, the allocation to ElectScore in this year is $350 million, and it has been fully transferred to ElectScore. This is a final settlement, we understand, in respect of the rather complicated agreement that was reached with ElectScore and the transfer of assets to the to a local community, but in an arrangement in which ElectScore continues to have what they call a joint venture and shared responsibility for continuing to develop the remaining mineral opportunities of the mine. So that clears the state's obligation to ElectScore. I should say that the table in the more detailed report is a little complicated. It shows that the ElectScore money was not transferred, but that's because of the way it's been classified. It has been transferred. It's classified as a capital transfer, not classified as a financial asset. And I think that it's wise not to see that investment as a financial asset. on the question of the doing away with the means test, so this is part of the broader social security reform, and the intention is to move to a old age grant system in which the means test would no longer apply, in which anybody would be entitled to apply for the old age grant. But before anybody starts thinking this will be a benefit to people who don't need it, it would be largely offset by a reduction in the tax rebates for people over the age of 65. So we have tax rebates that are available if you're in a higher income level, and so in effect there are various ways in which this could be done, but in theory either you continue to claim the rebate and you can't then claim the old age grant, and so there would be an information flow between SASA and the revenue authorities to make sure that that is implemented. Or in fact, the rebate may simply be withdrawn, and you apply for the grant instead. So it will take some time to sort this out. The indication has been given in the minister's speech and in the budget review this year. I think that this is a reform that will be phased in by 2015. It does have the big advantage for the social grant system that the administrative complexity and difficulties associated with the means test fall away. And it turns out when you work the numbers that you can largely offset the cost of that for the change in the tax structure. So that's the proposal, but it still needs to be worked out in some detail. IDIP, a question on IDIP. So IDIP this year is a bit behind spending. It has a budget of just under $200 million, $198 million. It spent $120 million by the end of the third quarter, so it looks as if it will underspend this year. Although I know there were some lags in appointment of staff and in some of its administrative costs, so there may be a sort of catch up in spending underway there. Land restitution, I can't really comment in detail on the land restitution processes and the cause of delays. I do think that we all appreciate this is a complex process, and particularly as the land restitution program has reached the stage now where it's dealing with large community-based claims, large numbers of households, and quite complex land claims in which there's a difficult balance to strike between finding alternative land or returning to original land and perhaps cash compensation options. And so progress continues to be a bit slower than we would like. We would certainly like to see these restitution claims settled so that we can move on to the longer-term land reform and redistribution program. But I think also the minister responsible and his department are trying to get a different balance between restitution and placement of people, or resettlement of people on land as part of restitution programs, and support for rural development and support for agricultural activity. And I think the minister is to be commended for trying to get that balance right. It's not easy, but it certainly improves the long-term outcome and sustainability of the program. In respect of defence, there was a question related to the classification
So this is simply about how the accounts are structured, because unlike other departments, Defense has its own procurement capacity, if you like, its procurement division located in a company, in a different business, Arms Corps. The department votes, transfers money to Arms Corps, but transfers money to Arms Corps in terms of very detailed agreements as to what it's going to be spent on. And so in our accounts, and Defense has its own financial management system, we do not manage the record keeping of the Defense Force financial system in the way that we do for other departments. And so we're not able to report in our quarterly system on the use of Arms Corps money. But that information is, of course, in the report of the Defense Force and of Arms Corps, and so is available to Parliament in a different form. So that's why I'm saying you should simply think of that transfer to Arms Corps as capital spending. It is an acquisition of equipment on behalf of the Defense Force, or almost entirely for that purpose. There's another part to this, which is that the international conventions on the classification of government spending, quite correctly when you think about it, do not classify spending on arms equipment as capital spending for the purpose of the national accounts. So you don't think of it as capital spending in the way that building bridges or buying equipment is. It's not productive expenditure in the sense of producing, increasing the productive capacity of the economy. So there is that convention that in the national accounts, the spending on equipment by defense forces for military purposes is not classified as capital spending. It's classified as current spending on goods and services. On the Department of Women, People and Women, Children, People with Disabilities, I do think there has been progress in improving financial management there. The problems of possible overspending are certainly much less serious than last year, and so I'm fairly confident that that the financial management improvements that we've seen this year will persist. So I do think there may still be some issues to sort out. This is a case of a department with a limited budget that put in place an organogram that was more expensive than could be afforded. That is not just an issue on this vote. It's something that comes up in many other departments from time to time. But we have put a lot of work in Treasury, and Spencer can tell you there's a lot of work that goes into this, in improving our understanding of the personnel structure of departments. And so you'll see in the E&E last year, and again this year, much more detailed information on personnel establishments and on spending on personnel in all votes. And this is part of our larger and longer-term focus on personnel spending as an area where we need to achieve better management and control. And Women, Children, People with Disabilities is a comparatively small department. It's a critical issue, of course, for provinces where personnel spending is such a large part of their budgets. Disaster relief. I think that in disaster relief there is always, and one would have to dig into the details of what lies behind these particular projects, but there is always a balance between the immediate relief, assistance to households, and if a bridge is washed away, then putting in place some temporary arrangement, and the longer term replacement or improvement of infrastructure. And I think it's not a surprise that there are always lags in the main infrastructure work that has to be undertaken when there have been floods or when there have been serious damage to infrastructure, because you need to not just replace the infrastructure, you almost always need to redesign it and examine why things went wrong, why roads were washed away, perhaps poor maintenance in the past, or perhaps poor design, or a failure to recognize trends, flood risks, and so on. So the replacement of infrastructure in the case of substantial infrastructure damage associated with floods and other disasters is always more time consuming, and from a budgeting point of view, we simply like to be prudent. We simply like to put the money on budget early so that it's available, but we recognize that the bigger projects take some time to be completed. also a specific question on the savings on Sasser's vote. So in broad terms, the average cost per grant payment fell from somewhere between 25 and 30 rand per grant to 16 rand per grant, which is the current contracted cost. This is partly because more grants are being paid through bank accounts now, and in fact the new payment contract provides for further movement of people onto a bank-based system in which the costs of administration are reduced, but the costs are also different. So you're not supplying and you're not relying on the costs of the physical administration of a cash payment system. You're putting costs, you're putting your expenditure into the electronic systems, and in the case of the new payments arrangements, as you'll know, biometric identification and the technical capacity associated with that. So there are different kinds of expenditures. The overall cost has come down in average terms. Does this reflect on perhaps inappropriate cost management in the previous contract? Well, I think there's quite a lot of complexity in that. Remember that we've moved here from different payments contracts for 9 provinces, and in some cases there were several payments contracts and payments arrangements in one province, to a unified system. Considerable cost savings, but it does take some time for that to be worked out. And for those savings to be realized. So I don't want to reach any judgments about the past contracts or the present contract in this. I do think that it is very welcome that we're moving to a more cost-effective system. And not only a more cost-effective system, one that also has considerable benefits in terms of convenience to grant recipients who no longer have to stand in a queue to receive their grants on a particular day. And then there were quite a few questions on persistent problems in water affairs, contract management and spending, why do departments, Honourable Member Snell's question, find it difficult to spend in terms of the MTF, and I think one has to be careful not to generalise. It's easy to give the kinds of answers that you read about in the newspaper to these questions. Sometimes there are sometimes in departments there are changes in management, changes in priorities that result in slowdowns. Sometimes there are genuine technical concerns that lead to delays. I can give an example of that in respect of the water affairs delays. We're aware that in the case of a number of major water projects, the Olifants River system, which is quite a complex system of canals and culverts and dams connecting various sources of water to establish a more secure water supply to power stations and communities in quite a large area. In the case of that design, that system, once the first phase had been built, there were revised hydrological estimates of the capacity of the water system, and so there was quite a long debate for a while between different design options. And quite sensibly, the department said, well, let's just hold on before we put in place infrastructure here. Perhaps it's based on inappropriate engineering design. And so the ultimate outcome of that is a more cost-effective design. We're not building quite such a large dam because it turns out the river can't sustain quite such a large dam as was initially designed. So that kind of complexity in respect of water systems I think is not is going to come up from time to time, and in the case of the water spending, there are those technical reasons why projects have been delayed in some cases. So I think that it's a mistake to try to generalize too much about why departments have difficulties. We're talking here about 500 billion under national spending responsibility, an overall budget of a trillion rand. It's not a surprise that there are going to be many different kinds of things that lead to delays or adjustments in spending plans from time to time in some departments. Um, And in respect of COGTA, and I'm going to duck the question a bit because I would really want to say the same sort of thing here. And you think about what COGTA is administering, grants to 280 municipalities, municipalities that are very varied in their performance. In some cases, there are political problems, decision-making problems. In some cases, there are projects that have been badly designed or have to be held back. So it's not a surprise that there is a bit of a mixed performance in the COGTA grants. And I don't have the details of the answer to your question on how far back we're going in this recovery of grants money. I think that information will be included in the Division of Revenue schedules and accompanying explanatory notes, so we can come back to you if you would like for details on that. I do think that there are some improvements in management of these programs, but most importantly, I think it's tough on municipalities that are perhaps struggling, but the discipline that's associated with municipalities facing up to the reality that money does have to be repaid if it's not spent on what it's intended for, I think that ultimately that will also contribute to improvements in performance of these grants and these critical areas of service delivery in municipalities serving low-income communities. Mr. Chair, I think I've covered most of what's been asked, but yes.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Mrs. Johnson, for the reply. But the question I did not make it quite clear in the high expenditure or improved expenditure patterns, which is something that is commendable. I did want to put that question as a package of high expenditure and value for money aspect. Because we can speak about that, but without necessarily seeing the output that was intended in the first place. So in terms of the performance of the high expenditure, in terms of the comment around that part, the defense, of course, we understand the defense, how it functions. But what strikes me is what you just said. I don't remember off the cuff as to the audit reports of the defense, but in my just vague recollection of facts is that they've been battling to get clean audit. Now it strikes me that with this body of administration they have, they also just police themselves in terms of expenditure and you not have, you have the treasury got nothing to do with that. In my view, the PMFA is still give authority to Treasury in terms of this, but that's my view. The last one is the land reform. You did mention about what you project. Now, I don't know, maybe Mr. Donaldson, you will maybe take this as a food for thought. In terms of the futuristic, looking at the future in terms of the land restitutions aspect, and the cost associated to that. There's been this whole unclarity and a moving target on what is the cost that the state will be faced with given the number of land outstanding. Now, there's a new approach of actually opening the date from the 31st of December 1998 to another date, which is at the moment I'm not sure when. Now, are you, as Treasury, starting to work on the projection around that particular issue and the implication of the fiscus around it? If you can just share light on that.
I'm going back to the issue of women and children, because we are aware of the fact that they employed out of the, they appointed out of the guidelines of DPSA, and then there was an adjustment to, in order to address the issue, which actually was the fault of non-compliance of the department. So shouldn't this have been the fault of the department? Because if they were aware that they were appointing out of the guidelines, and suddenly they are being paid to have done that mistake, is this not something that is also against the PFMA, or because this was an unauthorized an expenditure and they're being paid to have done that, when they should actually have seen where that money is being obtained through their own budget? That's what I think. And my other question is to know whether it has to do with those conditional grants, whether the two-year plan will actually assist in all these problems, the two-year pre-planning will actually assist and reduce our problems in addressing this non-planning of the department, or will it end up being the same, some departments coming with excuses and are being excused by National Treasury? Thank you.
Chair, I just want to, I have the answer of the defense, but my question is to, if you are saying they've got the way of reporting among themselves, and you are the one that is dishing out money to them, obviously there must be a condition to say, this is what we'd love to see in our report. Whether it's internationally or whatever, the fact remains the money comes from my coffin. And if the money comes from my coffin, I would like to see that it's reported accordingly, not according to what you think that you don't have money. That's my own understanding. And then in terms of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disability, I'm not so sure, and I once asked this question, that to say, in a way, in one department there are three different categories, that each category has got its own it's got its own focus. So, I mean, women, children and people, they are expensive in their own way, in a different way. When we give them budget, as much as it's the new office, let's say the new office, they did not know what's coming, or they are still learning. At this moment, they are in existence. What plan is there to make sure that the same mistake does not happen from the department? What is there? And secondly, do the department understand the complex, that's the word I want, the complexity of these three units in one department? Because alone in disability, it's so expensive. You know, just to have a single program of disability can cost you a lot of money. Because you have to pay for me, you have to pay if there's a meeting for my assistant. You know, there's a lot that is included. You have to pay for my assistive devices. If I'm blind, you have to pay for a sign interpreter if I'm deaf. I'm raising these issues because when the budget comes out, we tend to cut the budget and say, no, this is too much budget. Maybe that's why there's this rate.
because we look at it holistically. We don't divide all those children the same. So I'm just saying, because of the complexity, what plan is there to make sure that this thing, it does not happen again? That is the underspending or the overspending or the challenges within the department, excluding staff. Just there, as you say, because maybe the bulk of it is about also staff inside the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Ms. Tanks, I understand the complexities in trying to deal with spending a budget the size that we have at the moment. But I think the issues that you raised maybe in the main are exceptions rather than the rule. I don't know if there's any kind of clinical analysis that's done by the Treasury officials that are responsible for looking after various departments of reasons, so that you can separate operational inefficiencies kind of thing to actual technical challenges, and then to be able to analyze those numbers to try to reduce this kind of fiscal shrinkage that we get out of kind of a non-productive or non-utilization of systems that are there to be able to assist officials in delivering services. So that would be my question.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mr. Ramatakana has asked the big question, of course. Higher spending is all very well. Is it value for money, and how do we know? And I think in some ways, Honourable Snell's question is about a similar issue. Do we undertake analysis that helps us separate the technical reasons maybe for deviations from administrative failures, problems in the procurement system, problems in personnel management, overuse of consultants because staffing structures are not right? There are many things that can go wrong. There are many things that can go right.
I wrote something here, but I could not read my handwriting. That's how I was asking the question. So now it's okay what I actually wrote here. That it was, I tried to make a shorthand, but I battled with it. The question I wanted to ask with respect to the projections and expenditure, I wanted to ask a specific question in relation to the Free State. There was a last time we were having a discussion with health, the whole divergence of conditional grants or what is called moratorium that was declared by the provincial treasury there. I think you were there in that discussion. But treasury was like non-committal in terms of what Treasury will do with that, because it's an internal type of internal matter. I wonder what has the Treasury done to date around that particular aspect, or you still have to decide as what you need going to do about that particular. And it was Free State and who else in terms of the kind of money that was diverted.
Free State was direct, and then sort of wanted to say, no, this is general. But the health raised the issue directly with Free State, concerning Free State. They didn't tell us that other problems were having similar problems. Moratorium was with Free State.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. So I'll let me come back just now to say a bit about that. But what I just wanted to say on the general questions of the higher spending and value for money is, I mean, that remains a area of concern of the minister and of the minister's committee on the budget, and the minister's indication in the budget that there will be at least two focused broad spending review, expenditure review projects this year is in part about dealing with that. I think the intention is to have a spending review focus on personnel spending, so that'll be one area of focus, but also a more general review that will provide an opportunity to try to examine why it is that things go wrong, what the causes are of delays or of poor spending in particular departments. And perhaps what improvements could be made to the structure of programs and to the structure of reporting that would assist in dealing with those challenges. So this is indeed an area of ongoing work. I don't want to suggest that it can be dealt with through one review. I think that it's better to think about the sort of review that the Minister's intended as building on work that's been done over several years. So the more detailed reporting that we're able to do in the E&E and for budget planning purposes each year is in part a consequence of the kinds of understanding that have been developed through the local government reviews, through the provincial expenditure reviews, and from time to time through focused project reviews done with specific departments or for specific sectors. So over time, our understanding does improve, and that contributes to better budgeting. While I'm on that subject of program structure, and a couple of people have come back to the point about defense, the fact that defense runs its own system certainly does not mean that we can't ask questions and that we're not entitled to know what's going on. And really, if the specific concern is that the way we are classifying the money, the way we're classifying the appropriation as a transfer to Arms Corps is a concern, it does not have to be done that way. And so if the committee's feeling is that you would prefer to see the appropriation structured as a set of allocations for capital projects or for spending on equipment by program, Land with Defense, for the Navy, for the Air Force, the acquisition can still be administered by Arms Corps. Arms Corps can do it on behalf of the department, however it is classified. If the view of the committee is that you want to see the appropriation structured in that way, you want to move away from a transfer to Arms Corps, but more direct appropriation on the vote for equipment by program, take a resolution to that effect and we will make that change. So that can be done. It's certainly the fact that we have one particular set of systems does not lock us into any particular way in which the appropriation can be structured. And, Chair, I would say that's very much the business of this committee. If you're uncomfortable about how the appropriation is structured, then take a resolution to that effect and we'll open up discussion with the department on it. Couple of questions on women, children, people with disabilities. Again, three focus areas, and that certainly is the case. Here, of course, we have a department whose activities are about the policy issues and priorities and challenges of these areas of specific vulnerable groups. But a department that does not have responsibility for the delivery of services, so this is not the department where early childhood development programs are budgeted for. It's not the department where the program of providing assistive devices is budgeted for or the welfare services associated with particular needs. The Department of Labor has a budget for sheltered factories and so on. So, of course, if there were to be changes in that, if it were agreed that this department or the Ministry of Women, Children, People with Disabilities were to take over responsibility for the ECD programs or for welfare services for disabled groups, then there would be a very different budget here. So getting that balance right between the role of this department and the services themselves, I think, has been a bit of a question. But I would simply say, again, there have been some additional allocations to the department. We are seeing better management of its budget, and I think a better focus on these activities now. But this isn't really the place to go into the details of the activities of one vote. I think that a concern has been raised about compliance with the PFMA. This expenditure report really doesn't provide us with an opportunity to explore that, so that's an issue that would be dealt with through other processes. Land reform and the Honourable Member has given us food for thought, and I agree that there's considerable thought that is needed in this area. Cost implications of the possible reopening of restitution applications certainly are a concern, and I have to say we in Treasury have not done anything specific on that, and I think that again, if that's a particular concern of the committee, then it might be sensible to agree that we should do that. It would take a bit of time, it's an area of some complexity, and we would need to work with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in order to do that. I certainly think it's a big, important area, and as I mentioned earlier, the links between the restitution and land reform and redistribution areas and support for emerging farmers and the rural development side of the department's work are difficult and challenging, and now is probably a good time to put that under scrutiny. So the answer is no, we've not done any detailed work, and we note that that's a concern, and I think we should try to do some work on that this year. On the Free State, I don't have any further feedback on that. Our Intergovernmental Relations Division did provide a report to Parliament on Monday, I think that was last week, and has taken the matter up with the Free State. As I indicated in that discussion in Parliament, there really isn't any such thing as a moratorium on spending. But you know, let's also appreciate that towards the end of a financial year, departments do have to ensure that they manage within the cash limits of their budgets, and so you do, to some extent, get a deferral of payment of invoices if budgets are under stress until April. And certainly provincial departments might be finding themselves in that position, not just in the Free State but elsewhere. And so by moratorium, if what is meant, a holding back on invoices so that they don't break the cash limits of a vote in a particular year, well, yes, to some extent that goes on in a cash-based budgeting system. So I don't really know whether that's the issue there. I think that our IGR team is in discussion with the Free State on the Free State cash management, the overall provincial cash management problems that the Treasury has to deal with, and I think we will see further information on that once those discussions are complete. Honourable Mashiachu mentioned the two-year planning process, and yes, I do think that that will assist in improving municipal planning particularly, and we should, as an outcome of that strengthening of planning requirements, see better budgeting and better management of spending and within budgets. It will take some time to work its way through, so planning processes now are about spending in a year or 2 years' time, so it's not a short-term solution, but I do think it will contribute to better spending. I think that's I think those are the main issues in general. I've talked a bit about the defence case. Certainly, as I've indicated, the fact that there are different financial management systems does not in any way interfere with our responsibility and accountability to the Treasury in terms of the BFMA. It sometimes makes it a little more difficult for us to get information. So whereas we have direct access to Purcell, to the financial management system, when we're wanting information, in the case of Defence and one or two other departments running their own systems, we rely on their system. So it might take a few more weeks to get information, but we still have access to that information. So, thank you.
Small point, maybe that Mr. Donaldson can help us maybe in due course. The report that I seen was fairly thin, if that is the one that you're referring to. When we were dealing with the DORA, if that was the report that was sent, was fairly thin with respect, sir. it was very thin in terms of what is happening.
I accept that, and I think that they did that, you know.
I want to finish my point.
Okay.
So I was going to request, Chair, with your permission, that perhaps if the Treasury could give us a full report with respect to Free State, with respect to that particular issue, if we could have a dedicated report so we understand the, including what you call the intergovernmental relations and so on. Because I think that at the end of the day, the buck stops with the Treasury, sir. The buck stops with Treasury. So if we could get that report, it would be helpful in terms of us to understand in more quite broadly what is actually taking place there.
Yeah, no, I'm not really asking you a question. I need to just clarify something to Treasury, to say when I talk about activities, I'm talking about activities in terms of policies, not doing the direct work that's supposed to be done by other departments. That's what I'm talking about. If they have to have a meeting around any bill that comes in and they need, for an example, input from people with disability or input from civil society or whatever, there is budget, you know, there is budget involved there. And that's what I'm talking about. The reason why I'm asking, I've seen that the department, the last time when you saw it, they were spending too much on international traveling and catering and all those things. That does not deal with really policies. International travel, fine, they have done with the UN reports, but in terms of in provinces, do people really know what needs to be done in terms of UN reports and whatever? So that's what I'm talking about, policies. To say as much as we are dealing with that, it includes cost. And that's where it's not clear. You may give them extra money. I'm definitely sure the next time when they come here, we'll see their international traveling again and their catering and the adverts that are so unnecessarily expensive. So I'm saying in terms of those things, I'm just want to explain that. So I was not talking about actual things that need to be happening to other departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that the question has been responded, but the issue again is a matter that we need again to look at the report and if there's a need to invite the department, will do that. But when I look at the spending, you know, sometimes you must pat yourself on the back, because when you look at the spending with some of the departments, last year, or most part of last year, there was a big struggle with this department. But now this expense has really, really improved. Though you see that there's still a report that where the issues of the past 2 years are still affect the spending. Remember your employment outside the accepted norms, but there is a spending, and sometimes maybe looking for mistakes or underspending, I sometimes check whether is it the correct report that people, I'm not merely speaking about the Department of Women, Children, Disabilities. That's general. I'm looking at public works, for instance. Public works is at 70%. And I mean the expanded, what you call the program that we normally, that we have been seized with again for the past 2 years, was the expanded public works program. The expenditure is fine now. And you remember that you recommended to National Treasury and the department that some money must be given upfront, or it's a Schedule 8 at the time, so that people can have a way of starting the programs. And then it looks like it's paying off if you look at this expenditure. So I think we, with the cooperation we have with National Treasury, I think in some departments that have really been troublesome or problematic in the past few years, there's a lot of improvement. We still have to work with Honorable Masagana, with Department of Water Affairs. To me, it seems as well that they have improved. You know, a lot of departments, I see some improvement. I tried to get to the body of the report, you know, into different programs. It looks like there's an improvement. But that's what I wanted to say is, I don't know, Mr. Donaldson, if there's anything else that you would like to add? Sure. But what I'd like us to, maybe that it will be interesting looking at is this issue of land reform and restitution going forward. I think it's going to be interesting, given that I know some years back, if you remember, they came to us. We had supported them where they were looking for more money. But since then, they have not improved on the side of spending, which gives a bit of a challenge. And now there's going to be the reopening of land restitution and some bit of Mr. Swartz, what you call land, we're going to get. But it's clear that something needs to be done, otherwise it's not going to give a lot of help. I mean, they need to find a way of really fast-tracking the process. The other thing that worries me when I look at the report, Mr. Donaldson, is that Treasurer is more concerned about the transfers that you make. You make transfers up to a certain time. With the same, I think the same meeting that you were, that Mr. Bernard Ramatana is referring to, with, no, you were not in that meeting. Oh, you attended the second meeting, yes, with the Department of Health. Though the meeting that you attended did not speak about NHI, but the first one that we had discussion with around NHI was at 15% spending at that time. Now I'm just looking at the report in that looks like National Treasury has kept to its date of transferring those tranches, you know. Now, I know they are not very big amounts. However, it's clear that the amount, I mean the spending, when you look at the spending and the amount that are transferred, there's some, what you call it, disjuncture there, and there's something that we need to look at maybe closely as a committee this NHI spending with respect to those sites. The minister has indicated that the challenges that face them to ensure that those sites were really up and running. Indicated that one site, O.R. Tambo, really was still giving them challenges up to now. So it's clear that we need to monitor these transfers. Are these transfers in line with what Mr. Donald said, saying the value for money. Other transfers, is it enough to transfer them? What is happening on the other end when the resources have been transferred? Is there spending? Is there value for money? Those kind of things. The other challenge that we're having, honorable members and National Treasurer, is the issue of the concurrent functions. You know, you read a lot about some of the reports that don't come to us directly, which perhaps are supposed to be done by colleagues in the NCOP. I'm referring here to what I read about the challenges with municipalities who are not able to pay for electricity, for instance, and and some municipalities, I read some time that they are small municipalities where resources have been withheld, but I think we got an informal report that there was an improvement in terms of those municipalities. They have since responded to some of the challenges that they were facing. Now, I'm saying and one thing that during the division of revenue that we spoke about, Darren, maybe that we need to have in the program, again, Honorable Ramachandran, in the report that you're talking about, when we're talking about health, we found that generally there are challenges at the level of provincial treasury, you know. They are very, very key. But if those offices themselves, the challenges in one province, they've already replaced the MEC. Not really that I'm saying, we just need to think as members of the National Assembly, or maybe talk to our colleagues at the NCOP in terms of saying, look, there are these challenges. Someone must deal with them. Otherwise, we don't just say that think that the NCOP is going to deal with them. When no one is dealing with them. But just the last comment I would like to make, honorable members, is I don't know, maybe Mr. Thomas might want to comment today or some other day. Is the last day we received a report from Public Service Commission, and if I'm correct, there was also a similar report from the AG about the alignment between the annual performance plan and the spending, as to how do we ensure in future that there is this alignment throughout. We don't find it when the horse has bolted, but we try to ensure that during the year, as a part of our in-year monitoring, that this is under arrest. I know that we can't do it alone. Other colleagues have also to monitor this. I don't know if perhaps National Treasury there is some monitoring as well that you're doing that side. So I think it's something that all of us really need to work on. If there's no comment now, I think that we have come to the end of the presentation. I would really like to thank you very much for the presentation. But I mean, looking at the report again, I think that there is an improvement. You know, maybe it is a result of the adjustment where you thought that there was going to be an understanding, resources were shifted. Maybe it has assisted as well, because now people are reflected as being almost up to date with their statement. Well, you want to comment? No, thank you very much. Honorable members, National Treasury is released by that may assist if they want to work with us. I don't know the number of members who are not in. Thank you very much, Mr. Nossi and Mr. Tenori. We really need a chorus. Then you may sit and then you can have a chorus. Honorable Swat, do you know anything about Honorable Dr. Pandik? No, I remember that you said that he was supposed to present his report.
I can't hear you. Can you press? Portion, as yesterday, I had to leave at 12:30.
At 12:30.
So we can read in the hour. And I think Mr. She was busy with the report. Perhaps someone was just calling before we went.
And Honorable Yang is on
to... I don't know, I don't know if she's...
let me use your pen. My
who's that?
Dead.
Well, Penny will be back. Okay, Honorable Snell? Dispatching class. The problem is, when you deal with minutes... I'm not in a
column. This pen is from where? This pen is not from Japan. It's from U.S. So when you are writing with this pen, you are actually writing with the congressional column.
Can we have a 5-minute break?
Before we break, I wonder how we're going to pick up the comments that was made by Mr. Lawrence based on this issue of defense. There's two systems of appropriating, actually it's appropriating money. They seems not to be hostile to giving us details in the budget for the defense, because at the moment we don't have anything. Money goes at a big crunch to Dinam. Now, I wonder if we can't make a resolution. My view is that we should take a resolution here, that we do want those details, because otherwise you don't have you can't have an oversight on anything you don't have information about. It's almost like a secrecy thing that you don't quite know. You should take such a rule.
But, you know, when we submit our report to Parliament on the third course of expenditure, then we can just have that as one of our recommendations.
Next time I'll sit at the back so I can avoid this. Why don't you? No. Say, no, I just wondered that I think that we should put in a resolution. And a resolution either in the report, maybe it will be more, it will make more sense if it's in a report. So it's not just like something that comes from nowhere. So I think we should, I want to move that we should have such a resolution.
And also, of course, the parliament has the majority from the
people. Yeah, I think I do agree because I'm the one who really. Because you can't have two different ways of reporting and you don't even know where the money goes to. So I agree with what it's been suggested to say, let's appropriate any money that goes out. Let it be there so that we can be able to check if there's anything. Then we know what we are talking about. Yeah. So we are agreeing that there must be a resolution. So the resolution has not been put in proper English. Maybe Mr. Swart will help, because, you know, I'm just saying that no! I'm talking about now, Mr. Ramatakan was talking, Honorable Ramatakan was talking about, we need to resolve around the issue. Now, the sentence must come in, what are we resolving on? We are resolving on the way of reporting and appropriate correctly. But I don't know how to put now the right words and sentences.
No, I think it is the case is probably handled by the three persons before. I'm not going to call those at the record chat. Now, you know what I was thinking is I'm not against what is being raised here, but what I was thinking is that I think everyone seems to be saying we have very scant information around. Shouldn't perhaps we invite the defense to appear before us and get to understand the issues before we resolve, so that when we resolve, we clear on their side as well. But, yeah. Because I think that Mr. is correct. In fact, from what I picked up when Mr. Davidson was responding, I picked up that he was waiting for this, what they call it, kind of a resolution. And now that the committee has raised it, they were really ready for it, because it looked like they didn't want to raise it themselves. Yeah. If Parliament raises it, the better for them. Honorable Mfula?
I'm still saying it. Even if the department can come in, report, fine. But the fact remains the money comes from Treasury to them. So how do they account? Because it's not their money. It's the Treasury's money. It's our money here going to them. And all the departments are reporting accordingly. What is so different with them that they should not report accordingly? That is my question. So there needs to be a uniformity check. That's what we're talking about. To say if we know the in-depth of other departments, now, well, we need to know they are in debt because the money comes from Treasury. That's all that they say. They can come and report and have reasons. That would be better, because now we'll challenge them to say what makes them different. But you are saying, let us have a uniformity of reporting so that we can be able to monitor, you know, that each and like we're doing with other departments.
I think that we can still call them to come and speak to us on the various issues, but our decision is a standalone decision. It's based on really appropriating money. That money that is appropriated out of this committee, would like to see the details of what you're appropriating. And I think if we want to the wording of the resolution, you would find it in the response of Mr. Donaldson when he was responding to our question. Because I do think that it is problematic. You know, in defense, you only read about what they're going to do. You don't even know. You can't follow where that was in the budget. Then when you ask the question, you find a lot of footwork around the answer of that particular question. So I think let's do that. Based on our resolution, we will then invite them to come, once we have taken the resolution, to come and take us through on various matters.
Chair, I just got the feeling that Mr. Donaldson was very keen for us to take such a decision.
Sitting in France, people are throwing stones at him from the deck.
Now we'll come back to it then. We'll, I think I just say what you want to do. Okay, I don't know whether you. Susan? No, we start with dealing with minutes now. That's why I asked that for 5 minutes so that I can check with them.
Otherwise, just tell me I'll come back. But you know, I'm not missing the other way forever.
No, just
about to. You know, he's writing a form.
My girlfriend. Yeah. Sure.
My girlfriend.